Amen. Brother Sam, I think it's a good thing you moved down south, isn't it? You're talking about the cold weather. Because you get older, you can't live up there anyway. So good, y'all just stay down here then. You can't handle it up there no more, you said, right? Amen? So it's age, you know, it's age part of it. Just, I was thinking, yeah, he said he didn't know why. Now, actually, I did hear somebody say this. If you leave the north and go down to, like, Florida, move, within, like, 60 days, they say your blood thins out and you can't handle it up there anymore if you go back. I don't know about that. I just heard somebody talking about that recently. It was interesting how that might work. So if you want thin blood, move south. Amen. I don't know. Let's open our Bibles. Job tonight. Job 38. If anybody had trouble and trial, we know that's what the book of Job is about. Job is one that let us know, too, that everybody's going to go through it. You know, we're all full of trouble, he says. I've been thinking about that. Coming into this year, there's been a lot of it, just so many stories, so many different things. And, I don't know if it's the time of year necessarily, but just a lot going on with people. And Job certainly was one of those people. And by the time you get to Job 38 is when God steps in. Been a lot of talk going on. But what Job desperately needed is like you and me, what we desperately need all the time, and especially in troublesome times, is a word from the Lord. Now, Job had been getting a lot of words from his friends and others, and it wasn't helping him out one bit. So let's look here at Job 38, verses 1 and 2. To start with tonight, Job 38, 1 and 2. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" Look at that again. Then the Lord answered Job. So finally God speaks out of the whirlwind. That's sort of out of a storm, maybe the voice of thunder. And said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" Darken of counsel, that's the idea of everything they've said to you, Job, is just depressing. They've made your days darker with everything you've been listening to. So his three friends have been talking to him for a long time, having this conversation back and forth. And then back around chapter 32, a fourth man got involved. His name was Elihu. And Elihu gets involved, and he doesn't do any better. He thinks he's smarter than the other three. He listened to the three friends. He listened to them for a while, and he thought, you know what? I need to step in here, straighten all this mess out, and help Job out. But it turns out he's no smarter than they are. So Job is the one who said back in chapter 16, he said, "Miserable comforters are you all." He said, "You all trying to help me out." But what were they doing? Job, it's your fault. Job, we didn't realize you were such a hypocrite. Job, God's mad at you. Job, there's no reason anybody would go through this kind of stuff if they were right with God. And so that was sort of the idea of a lot of their talk and a lot of their rhetoric with Job, until Elihu steps in and he starts talking about it and trying to say some things as well. So they were blaming Job for his troubles. Now, it says there again, if you look at verse 1, then the Lord answered Job, okay? Most people seem to think that Elihu, there at the end of chapter 37, was not finished with what he had to say. And he's been talking since chapter 32. And he's still going. Many believe that he didn't even finish. You know why? God interrupted and God stepped in and God basically said, "That's enough. I've heard all of y'all's talk. I've heard Job talking back to you. Now I've heard everything Elihu has had to say. Job, you need to listen to me now." And I tell you, I'm glad, folks, that you and I can open our Bible anytime, because we hear from this world, don't we? We hear a lot of talk. We hear a lot of talk that darkens counsel, that is actually just depressing. Y'all with me on that? You ever get any advice or counsel or so-called help that just depresses you even more? And that's the way his friends were. And that's the way Elihu, who thought he was smarter than the other three and smarter than Job, and he thought he would straighten everything out, And that, I believe, is who God is referring to in verse 2. He says, who is this? I think it's a reference to the one he just cut off. And God said his words were without knowledge. Now, that's pretty bad if God has to step in and say, basically, you don't know what you're talking about. Have you ever heard words without knowledge? Don't say at church. Amen. Don't say amen. But you hear words without knowledge. We hear it all the time. And words without knowledge, words with no direction, words with no point or purpose. So here they are just spouting off, these four, the three friends in Elihu. They're just spouting off and they're just telling Job everything. And they're talking about God until God finally steps in right here. And God says, who is this that giving words without knowledge? Let me see. Back in chapter 34, verse 35. Look at that. This is what Elihu said about Job. Chapter 34 and verse 35. Job hath spoken without knowledge, and his words were without wisdom. So what God said about Elihu is something Elihu had already said about Job. Isn't that bad when God uses your own words against you? He basically, God sort of, and I think almost sarcastically, rebuked him and said, you're talking about Job, don't know what he's talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. Chapter 35 and verse 16, he said again, therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain and multiplieth words without knowledge. He said it twice. He said that twice about Job, and then God spoke up and said it about him. So we're pretty sure Elihu is the one some people will tell you that God might have been talking about Job. I don't think he was. I think he interrupted Elihu and said it about him. And then he directed some things at all of them that were there. And we'll look at a couple other verses in chapter 38 as we go along tonight. But I would like to think God did just cut him off and take over, because God speaks from here in the book. Now, Schofield says in his notes that verse 1 could read, God spoke up on Job's behalf, that God, before God instructed Job, and before God said, Job, you're going to give an account to me, he basically gave a defense of Job. And I believe God did do that as well. Verse 3 of chapter 38, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. So Job's going to have to listen to God and give an account to God. By the way, we all will, right? God's going to demand an account and an answer from all of us for the life that he gave us. Amen? So we need to know and understand that. Now, with all that said, I just want to say this tonight. I want to talk about this for a few minutes. Take God's word over man's word. Take God's word over man's word. It is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in princes, the Proverbs tells us. It's always better to trust in the Lord's word than in man's word. So Job has been hearing these people talk, and they've been giving him all their philosophical answers. They've been supposedly encouraging him to get his life straightened out with God so that he could get some help from God. And that wasn't, you know the story. We already know what was actually going on. We've read chapter 1 and 2. We know what was going on. They didn't, but they thought they had all the answers. So with that being said tonight, let me give you a couple of thoughts. Number one, man's wisdom falls short. Man's wisdom always falls short. Now, there's a lot in the Bible about that. Isaiah talked about God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Paul, elaborated on that there in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2 and talked about the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God and you know, the comparisons that he gave there. There's a lot in the Bible that lets us know man's wisdom always falls short. Now, he said there in verse 4, if you look at verse 4, chapter 38, verse 4, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Now, he goes on and on with these questions, but notice what he said there. Where were you? Basically, he said, where were you when I created the earth? Do you have any understanding? Declare it. Tell me how it happened. Tell me how I did it. Man's wisdom always falls short. Jump over to verse 18. Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare thou, if thou knowest it all. Now, again, these four people have been talking to Job, and Job's been interacting with them, and they're all acting like they got the answers to the world and answers to life. And God says, really, you got some answers? Give me some answers. Tell me about this. You know, man's wisdom is always going to fall short in those kind of situations. Mankind thinks they can answer those questions. Oh, yeah, we can explain the universe. We can explain all of it. I mean, in fact, it was just one big accident. There is no God, and let's teach evolution. There, we got it. Y'all good with that? No, take God's word over man's word. Amen, right? God says, in the beginning, God created, and then man says, no, there's no God. It was a big old accident out there. When, how, out of what, we don't know all that, but we've all evolved to where we all are today. As evolution stopped somewhere along the way, Anyway, man has no answers. Man's wisdom always falls short. God can ask questions like that to these people who thought they were so smart. They couldn't answer it. They could not explain to God how He set the foundations of the earth. They could not explain these things. And Job's friends thought they had that, so God called them, again, people that words without knowledge, meaningless rhetoric that did not help Job, did not explain anything. They gave philosophy, they gave instruction, but it didn't include God in it. And that's always very dangerous, right? Humanistic thought. Now, let me tell you this. You go through the book of Job, and you look at what the three friends said, you look at what Elihu said, and you'll say, man, that sounds good. And you might even on some things say, boy, that's absolutely correct. But you got to be careful. I would have to be careful if I'm preaching the words of those three friends or Elihu. Some of it sounds really good, but you got to be careful here because it was faulty, and the reason so much of it was faulty was because it relied on man's wisdom. I mean, it's almost like the book of Ecclesiastes. I mean, you read the book of Ecclesiastes and you're going to be one depressed individual with no hope whatsoever because you got to understand Solomon was talking about it from his past whenever he was doing things without God and he did everything and tried everything and he said, everything's vain, nothing matters, who cares, whatever. That's the interpretation of Ecclesiastes, whatever, who cares. Everything's vain. Is that the way life is? No. Now I'm glad in the end of the book he straightens it out, right? But if you were just to take a lot of what he said in there, you say, well, God doesn't lie. No, God doesn't lie, but God records things men said that weren't right. You got to be careful with that, right? It is the Word of God. I get that. You got to be careful with that. So what am I saying? I'm just saying this. God's words over man's word every time is what we need to have. So the Apostle Paul, let God be true and every man a liar. That's something Dr. Oliver B. Green used to like to say that a lot. Quote that verse. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know, Peter was like, we ought to obey God rather than man. So what are they saying? God's word over man's word is always the best thing to do. Dr. Clarence Sexton just went to be with the Lord. He used to often say, your philosophy should come from your theology. And see, that's where the three friends and Elihu were making their mistake. No, they talked a lot about God, and they said a lot of things about God. They may have even said some good things. But for us today, if you're not careful, your philosophy will not come out of your theology, your belief about God. It'll come out of humanism because you're getting it from this world and not from the Word. Most people today don't know what the Bible says about much of anything. They may try to quote a couple of verses. They may think they know a couple of things. But we've raised a generation or two, by the way, that has no idea about the Bible. They don't hear it in school anymore like you did. They just don't have no understanding of the Word of God. And their philosophy is vain philosophy. It's humanism. It's wisdom, man's wisdom, without God. And I already said that's very dangerous, right? So man's wisdom falls short every time. We cannot figure this out. I heard a video, saw a little video where somebody, some famous guy years ago, he's dead and gone now, but he was talking about how, you know, we don't know how we got here. We don't know why we're here. We don't know where we're going when we leave here. The guy he was talking to, he said, "You don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. Nobody has the answer. These are unanswerable questions." And I'm thinking, somebody needs to open the Bible and talk to this guy, right? And show him why he's here and where he came from and where he's going and where he can go. But that's the way a lot of people are. That's a no-hope attitude, isn't it? Man's wisdom does not include God. Romans 1 explains that, how they would not retain God in their knowledge. Man's wisdom falls short. So we need God's word over man's word. Number two, man's plans fall short as well. Man's plans fall short. All right, look at verse 19 of our chapter here. Verse 19. Where's the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where's the place thereof? Thou that shouldest, take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. Okay. Tell me how light works. Tell me where light begins. Tell me where light ends. Tell me the bounds of light. God just asked a good question. I don't know the answer. I don't know how to answer God on that. He created all that, right? What are the bounds of light? Where did it start? Where is it in? You didn't create it. God did. All right, and then he said there in verse 21, "Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great?" In other words, you've been around a long time. You've got a lot of education. You've got a lot of years. You've got a lot of experience. Now explain light to me. Now, all three friends in Elihu and Job, they're not trying to answer right now. They're just listening, right? Amen? They're just listening. All your years, you've been born in this world. You done lived all these years. You got education. You got experience. Explain this to me. Man's plans fall short. God planned light. God planned the universe. Man cannot even plan his own life in all of the years that he has, because a man may gain the whole world and lose his own soul. He hadn't planned anything. And then if you're a Christian, you're praying for the will of God. You're not planning anything. You're following the Lord, right? The moon and the sun and the stars, yeah, God made all that, and we live according to it, and we live by it. But we don't always understand everything there is about that. So Job knew all too well. I said man's plans fall short. All right, wisdom falls short. You think Job's wisdom fell short when he tried to figure out what in the world has happened to my life? When Job tried, and then his three friends tried to explain it to him, and Elihu tried to explain it to him, and Job still like, "I don't know what happened to my life, my wealth, my health, my family." Now, talking about plans falling short, did Job have some plans for his wealth? Yeah, he was a smart man. Did Job have some plans that included his family? And it was all going well until it all hit a wall when the devil got involved and God allowed it. And he lost everything. He thought he was planning his life out pretty good, but then it fell apart. You ever felt like your life fell apart? Have you ever had your life fall apart, or you feel like it's falling apart sometimes? Well, Job really did. It did fall apart. He had plans. He thought he would do this and he would do that. James, keep your finger here. Go over to the book of James real quick, chapter 4, if you will. James chapter 4. James talked about this. I like what James says about it. Go over to James. Page 1309 if you're using a Scofield, okay? Help you out, a few of you out there. 1309. All right. James talks about making plans here. Verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go unto such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. They're making plans for a year down the road. Verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What's the good? Following the Lord. Doing the will of God. So James here talks about making plans, and you know, everybody makes plans, but you got to learn to say, if the Lord will, if the Lord's willing, what is the will of the Lord? What is God's will? So as Christians, we learn to call on God, depend on God, rely on God, pray to God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we need the guidance of God. Anybody with me? I already said now, Job needed a word from the Lord. He had been getting all these other words, but God's word is better than man's word. And James thought he had his life figured out too. He didn't believe on Jesus, his own brother. He thought he had it all figured out. He didn't believe on him. He thought he was crazy. But until after the resurrection is whenever the light hit him and he got saved, and then he figured out, I need to do like Jesus did his whole life and follow the Father's will, if the Lord will. Have you ever made plans that didn't come about, but you thought it was a sure thing? We're going to go here, we're going to go there, we're going to make this much money, and you know, a year from now we'll be here, we'll be there, we'll be set, right? If the Lord's willing, we'll do it, right? God's will. There was a lady, she was getting close to 40 years of age and she had never been married. She went to her pastor and she talked to her pastor about that. She was getting a little anxious about it, and he talked to her about being committed to the will of God. She said, Pastor, I think the will of God is for people to get married, and I just want to get in the will of God. She was getting a little anxious and concerned about that, right? Well, I wish we all had a desire to get in the will of God, right? James learned how to get in the will of God. Why? Because God plans the universe, and God plans the light, and God plans how it all works. And we're just trying to plan the next hour, and sometimes that doesn't work out. Man's wisdom fails. Man's plans fail. So that's why I say, Lord willing. You know when I hear Lord willing from people the most? It's funny to me. When I hear people say that, preacher, I'll see you Sunday. Lord willing. He's willing, I'll see you Sunday. That's what I usually say. He's willing, I'll see you Sunday. But yeah, well, that makes it real spiritual about going to church. Amen. Lord willing. But you know how it is. Sometimes you do have to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Lord willing. If it's the Lord's will, unless the Lord stops it, unless the Lord redirects otherwise. We just need to learn to do the will of God. Job had to accept the will of God for his life, and it wasn't an easy one. That was the will of God, the trouble that he went through, the trial that he went through. And you're going to go through some trouble and some trials sometimes in the will of God. And that's not always easy, is it? And we're trying to figure it out, and we're trying to plan our way out of the will of God because it includes trouble. But we need to learn to trust God and follow Him and understand it's His will. Jesus taught us that, by the way, didn't it? Didn't He? To do the will of the Father, not our own. Thy will be done, not my own, right? Not my will. Thy will. So we got to learn to do the will of God. So man's wisdom fails. Job figured that out. His friends Hopefully, if they were listening in the last few chapters, they figured it out too, didn't they? Man's plans often fall short. And then number three, man's strength falls short as well. Back to Job 38. Man's strength also falls short. Now, in verses 22 and 23 of chapter 38, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? In other words, can you explain a snowflake? Can you explain how hail works? All right, now you and I probably got a better chance at that than they did, right? We've learned a lot of stuff about that. You might have learned that in school. You might have learned some of those things, but the complexities of a snowflake and hail and all that, God's amazing, right? But then he says this in verse 23, which, speaking of snow and hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. All right, I said here, number three, man's strength falls short. That probably is prophetic that God says there, speaking of the tribulation and the end times. And God will use hail, storms, and such like. Now, God knows the future, so he can say that to Job back then, just like he could say it today. Because God is always I am in present tense, right? So it's probably prophetic because he's talking about the day of battle, and he's talking about the day of battle and of war. He talks about when trouble comes, the Jacob's trouble is probably what he's talking about there. And by the way, this is probably this Job's life in this book very early on, but God already knew about Jacob, amen, and Israel and the revelation and all of that. But mankind thinks he can defy God, but you know what? Man's going to learn in the tribulation, you can't stop God's plans. You're not strong. Try to defy God. You're not strong enough, right? We don't want to defy God anyway, but I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? Nations and world leaders and all that even the Antichrist, they think they will defy God, but they're going to find out. They have no strength. They're no match for God. So if you read I didn't read all of this chapter, but if you read everything God says and all the questions he asks, God's great and we're not. And what have I said? Our wisdom fails. Our plans fall short. And now I'm saying our strength falls short. I mean, God's talking that early on to man about the end times, I believe. And how he creates snow and hail, storms, and he is that strong. So Job, you think about this. Job understands this, that his strength is no match for God. Job had lost everything. I think Job was a healthy man. I think Job was a strong man, but not at this point. He's on the trash heap at this point, by the way. He's in sackcloth and ashes. He's in depression and mourning. His life is torn apart. He's got all kind of words from people, including his own wife. He needs a word from the Lord, and he needs to be reminded that God is great. And I think that's what he's getting right here. Now, let me say this. There's no security in strong wealth. Big bank accounts can collapse tomorrow, right? Big banks can close tomorrow. I know Bible college one time, they were celebrating because they got a $1 million scholarship thing going. Boy, that was wonderful. That was great. Something happened in the market, and they found out it was gone because the person that was giving it to them had it in the market, and they lost every bit of that, whatever happened. That was a long time ago. Security and wealth, don't put all your security in that, right? You trust God still, amen, right? Security and health. Job's health failed him without notice, didn't it? You ever seen your health fail without notice? Is there security in your health right now? The strongest person in here, the healthiest person in here, is there complete security in your health right now? No. We know better than that, right? We know something could happen any moment. Is there security in a strong government? That can fail, or they can betray its people, right? So we understand all that. Now, according to what God said right there to him, did you know that Earth's future is not very bright? I mean, there is just read the book of Revelation, right? Earth's future is not real bright. It's not real good. Oh, well, look, the climate change people are going to save us all. Now what's my title again? Take God's word over man's word. Amen, right? The climate change people, they're going to save it. I'm telling you, they're going to save it all. You need to vote for those folks. They know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. They're going to save us all. No, I think I'll take God's word over man's word, right? So whenever your wisdom fails, whenever your plans fail, whenever your strength fails, what did we sing about already tonight? You're going to be weary, but God is your shelter and God is your rock. Amen, right? And man's word is solid. Man's word you can stand on. God's word, and God's promises you can stand on. Man's words are feeble and man's words crumble. Man's philosophies is built on sand. God is the solid rock. Take God's word over man's word. In the early 1800s, William Miller of New York announced that he had put all his calculations together. He was supposed to be a brilliant Bible scholar, and he had calculated this and he had calculated that. And he made the announcement that on October 22, 1844, Jesus would return. So the day came. They said all of New England, where he was up there, there was just a gloom over everything. There was anxiety over everything. People stopped all their activities. People gathered in churches that morning. People gathered on mountaintops. And as the day passed and came to an end, they were all disillusioned. Unbelievers begin to mock them about what they thought was going to happen. They even named the event as the Great Disappointment. Now, you know, all those folks could have saved themselves a lot of anxiety if they had just took God's word over man's word, right? Because the Lord had already said, no man knows the hour. Amen. God's word over man's word. Get in the Bible. Get in the Psalms. Get in the Scriptures. When you're weary and you need to stand on the solid rock. Well, my friend said this. Maybe okay. Might be like Job's friends. I don't know. But just make sure the advice you're getting and the advice you're taking is rooted in the Scriptures and is based on the Bible. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, said the chief means for attaining wisdom are the Holy Scriptures and prayer. I think Job here at this point in his life really needed to get a word from God. I think if God did just cut that guy off and Elihu, if God had just cut him off and interrupted him and stepped in and said, that's enough. Whirlwind, voice like thunder, and God begins to speak. And wisdom really begins to flow there in chapter 38 and beyond. That's how it is, folks, whenever we are having a hard time and we're in a trouble or we're in trial and we don't know what to do and we get into the Word of God, this is when wisdom begins to speak, right? This is when the solid eternal promises, they won't break and we can lean on them and we can stand on them, right? And may God help us to understand and be reminded like Job was, take God's word over man's word every time. And you'll be all right. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Let's think about this for a moment. Job's a fascinating book, and you know that, but I think Job needed a word from the Lord, and he got it. He had got so much other stuff that was discouraging and depressing and dark in counsel and words without knowledge. It was good whenever God came on the scene. You know, I don't know what to do about everything. None of us do. None of us know what to do about everything. But if we'll get into the Bible and let God guide us and direct us, call upon Him for direction in our life. When our wisdom fails and our plans fail and our strength falls short, we know we can always lean on Him. Lord, we thank You for that truth tonight. We thank You, Lord, that we can count on You. We thank You, Lord, that You will help us and You will direct us and guide us, and Your Word will, without a doubt. We thank You for it tonight. Encourage our hearts and help us with this, I ask, in Jesus' name this evening. Well, let's stand and sing a little something before we pray tonight.